Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Aaron Greenwood, joining for an unusual show, something of an experiment. I'll explain more about that in just a moment after outlining a bit about Aaron herself. A guest on Talking Animals multiple times. Aaron is also aware of many hats. Most of those hats are animal-related, including her present position, Director of Philanthropy and Communications at the Austin Animal Shelter, known as Austin Pets Alive. Another hat is her past work as an animal journalist extraordinaire. She was the animal welfare editor at the Huffington Post and a regular contributor to animal coverage at the Washington Post, the Today Show website, and the Dodo, among others. Additionally, she's a novelist whose books tend to feature dog or other animal ailments. Aaron also maintains a sizable social media presence, posting regularly on Facebook, often about the animals she and her husband Ray share their home with. Today's show is partly the product of being struck by the poignant story Greenwood chronicled through a series of Facebook posts, the emotional gut punch of losing their longtime beloved pointer mix, Murray, grieving that profound loss, the eventual tentative steps towards welcoming another dog into their family, their upsetting realization that maybe that dog wasn't quite the right fit, grappling with releasing Jimmy back to the shelter, then, after a period and probably feeling gun-shy and, needless to say, some anxiety, inviting a new dog, Judy, into their home and gradually realizing she was the right fit. So it's an important and, in many ways, universal narrative through everyone's mileage, and each key phase may vary. So my thought here is that a discussion about this might be helpful to folks struggling with one or more of those phases. And I really hope some listeners, many of you in fact, will indeed call or write in to share your own comparable experiences. Have you lost a dog? When did you feel comfortable adopting another dog? How did it go? Anything you might do differently in retrospect? Any input you'd like to offer, we really welcome. And give that number again later, but for calling in, it's 813-239-9663. Can also be, I think, be better if you could call, but if you don't feel comfortable calling and you want to email or text, you can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. We'll have that conversation with Aaron in just a moment, and with you, we hope, shortly here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Meanwhile, coming up later in today's program, I'll speak with Stephen Mazur, founder and CEO of Loving Cats Worldwide, which is organizing the Tampa Cat Stravaganza, happening May 18th and 19th at the Tampa Convention Center. The Cat Stravaganza features local rescues participating in an adoption event, an international cat competition, cat strutting in the catwalk, a best in show competition, a feline-oriented shopping village, and more. We'll learn more about the Tampa Cat Stravaganza when Stephen Mazur joins us just a bit later in the show today. Right now, though, let's talk dogs. Loving them, losing them, grieving them, preparing to love them again, and so on, with Aaron Greenwood. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation, and I really hope you will today, even more than maybe than some other days, by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Aaron Greenwood back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, Duncan. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals and sort of taking a bit of a shot with me on this kind of unusual conversation that I think hopefully will be helpful to all kinds of folks along the way. First, though, let's get caught up a bit professionally. In recent years, you've handled communications for various animal organizations. Mm-hmm. So before we address your present position, what would you like to say about any other organizations you've worked with in that capacity in the past?
Just that I feel like I've been very lucky to get to spend this last 10 or 12 year, however long it's been, working in animal welfare, writing and editing and sharing stories about animals and trying to get other people more involved with animal welfare, trying to get them engaged. And I just, you know, I've gotten to do it at a whole bunch of really terrific places, and I feel very lucky to have gotten to do that, to be getting to do that.
For sure. Well, so tell me what the Director of Philanthropy Communications at Austin Pets Alive is. What does that work entail?
Sure. Yeah. This is a job I can I had been freelancing for Austin Pets Alive for a couple of years after I left my full-time animal communications job. I'd been working mostly with their human-animal support services project, and I think actually you had people from Haas on the show to talk about that work.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a really, it's a terrific program that's sort of aimed at helping people keep their pets, even through hard times, looking at the barriers that, are in place that stop people from adopting and then stop people from being able to keep pets. And basically, you know, looking at that side of trying to help more pets stay out of shelters and stay alive. So I had been very happily freelancing with them for a couple of years, writing and editing. And then I started doing some freelance work with Austin Pets Alive philanthropy team, their fundraising team. And it was my first time working in fundraising, doing any work in fundraising. And I sort of, much to my surprise, found that I liked it. And I really liked the people on the team. And I really liked the work that we were doing. I was freelancing. I was writing and editing for them, too. And then I came on staff there just about a year ago as a, you'll be shocked to hear, a writer and editor.
Seems to be a consistent theme, if I'm not mistaken.
Really, that was a very surprising turn, right?
Yeah, that's great, though. Because it is familiar skills that you obviously have honed, but it sounds like kind of you stepped into a different world and found, mm-hmm. much to your surprise, that you really liked it.
Yeah. I really do. And I find the organization is doing innovative, important work, and my teammates are great. And yeah, it's been a really good experience.
Well, that's great. Well, just for what it's worth, WNF has a fund drive coming up, and later at the very tail end of this month, I think it starts. And so maybe I'll enlist you for some help, since it sounds like you've got a real gift for fundraising and philanthropy. And boy, could I use some help! So that's great.
Yeah, be happy to talk to you about it. I mean, it's everyone is looking for a way to sort of help the causes that they really care about, and donating even a very small amount of money is a really great way and a really effective way to do that.
For sure. No, that's great. Good for you. Well, let's talk about your Facebook posts, which often involve the animals you and your husband, Ray, share your home with, but might also be about dogs or cats you met out on a walk, or manatees you happened to see that morning, or any number of other topics. I mean, it's pretty much all kinds of things, often animal-related, as I noted earlier, but no real subject seems flimsy. So those of us who had followed you for a while had come to know your beloved dog, Murray, and through posts that were typically entertaining or whimsical, partly because Murray tended to be entertaining or whimsical. And then one day a Murray post was a lot more serious. Maybe you can pick up the story a bit from there.
You're going to make me cry again, Duncan.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
We're
just getting through the tough part now, and then I think we go from there to better stuff.
So Murray, you know, I called him Mr. Perfect. He was our baby. My husband and I adopted him when we had only been together for about a year. And he was with us through basically every stage of things, through new jobs, through getting married, through moving to Florida. He was there with us through everything and sort of the center of our lives. And like you said, I mean, he was a dog with a big personality. So he liked what he liked, and we just loved him. He was a perfect fit for us. And then just about, I guess, probably maybe about 14 months ago, 15 months ago, he started doing some unexpected things. He was shaking his head a lot, and he seemed to be having trouble lying down and staying asleep through the night. And we thought maybe he had an ear infection. You know, we weren't thinking catastrophic things. And we brought him to the vet. And the vet said they thought he was probably having seizures, and that in all likelihood, those seizures were being caused by a brain tumor. And it was just a terrible shock. It was nothing that we expected. And I guess we went through the stages of grief. And, you know, my husband sort of quickly accepted that this is probably what was happening. And I went through all kinds of stages of not accepting it at all. Thinking that, you know, we'd find out it was something else, or it was a mistake, or, you know, whatever it was. Excuse me one sec. And, you know, he went on anti-seizure medication, and we got another couple of beautiful months with him. And then he told us that it was time. He stopped wanting to eat. He stopped barking at the mailman. I mean, it was time. And we made an appointment with Lap of Love to come over and set him free in our own house in a place that he loved, surrounded by everyone he loved. And yeah, and that was, it was devastating. And I knew it was the right thing to do. And the vet really reassured us. I mean, they couldn't have been more compassionate or reassuring. And it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, I'm sorry. We almost have to kind of start the story here. Unfortunately, we can't. I don't know if we could, much we could have skipped over, but I'm sorry. For what it's worth, I think I'm going to mention this in one of my emails to you. I'm preparing to have this conversation. But, you know, we lost our dog over around the same 13, 14 years over the same time, which is part of the reason you're, I think, again, really poignant and moving kind of chronicling of everything that happened. I mean, this is the toughest part of the story, obviously.
Yeah.
But where it goes from there, I think hopefully can be really helpful and illuminating for people that have been in that stage or other stages of like, when and how will we adopt another dog, or how does that go, or what are the pitfalls? And some people are really quick to do that, and some people say, I'm never adopting another dog. I can't take the heartbreak. So I just think there's a lot to talk about here. And let me just let folks know, this is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Aaron Greenway. We're discussing some of the challenges of losing a dog and the grief, obviously, that goes with that, but then when or if or how you decide to adopt another dog and how that goes. So we really hope you'll join the conversation with your own experiences of any of those things or others as well at 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org if you prefer not to speak on the phone, or you can also, of course, along those lines, text 813-433-0885. Okay, so we've hopefully gotten through the toughest part of the conversation, and you guys are obviously grieving, and but a certain amount of time goes by. So how did you and Ray decide, you know what, we might be ready to meet some dogs? I mean, what were the signals, or what, you know, I'm sure there was some tough struggling along the way, like we're just not ready, or can you just talk a little bit about what that was like, and then you felt like, hey, maybe we are ready?
Sure. Yeah, it was, I definitely did not feel ready for a very long time. And I also, I mean, I just felt so raw and so, I mean, broken isn't the right word, because I didn't feel broken, but I just felt like I didn't have it in me to care for another dog right then. But I also didn't feel like myself without having a dog. And so much of my life and so much of my day revolved around taking care of my pets, including my dad. We have three cats too, and you know, taking care of them and loving them and noticing everything that they do and making sure that they're happy, and you know, just everything. That's it's a big part of what our lives revolve around.
Yeah.
But it took me. I just did not feel ready. And one thing that influenced that was our three cats, who had always been very comfortable with Murray, and you know, we used to say they treated. I mean, we all did this, but treated him like a celebrity in the house. Like, they would all clearly notice him and go up to him and kind of stick their cute little butts in front of him, just, you know, and then sort of dash away a little bit or lie down right near him and sort of gently reach out with their paw. I mean, it wasn't just my husband and me who spent all of our time kind of noticing what Marie was doing. The cats did too. But after he died, I noticed a change in them that, you know, it was mostly our shyest cat, our little guy, Jack, just seemed more confident than he used to. And he was out sort of sleeping and, you know, on the couch in the middle of the day and doing things like that that he hadn't really done when Murray was alive. And I wondered, was his life better now? I mean, as devastated as we were, was his life now a little bit better now that he was living with the dog? And I, on top of just not feeling ready to adopt a pet, I also felt very strongly that my cat's lives should never be worse than they are, you know?
And, for sure.
And if they were happier now, that was something I had to take into account. And then around the time of the hurricane, the big hurricane that we got last year, I can't even remember what it was called. We've had so many of them since we moved here. I think it was late September, early October, There was the hurricane coming, and I thought, what the heck? Why don't we why don't we foster a dog during the hurricane so that a dog doesn't have to spend, you know, this terrible storm in the shelter? So yeah. I'm on the board of a shelter here in St. Petersburg, a wonderful shelter, Friends of Jays. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's really, it's a wonderful organization. And I reached out to the operations director there and said, can we foster a dog during the hurricane? She said, sure, come on in. I'll give you a dog.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went in and picked up this dog who'd just come in that day. I think she'd just come in that day. It was either that day or the day before, this little five-year-old beagle mix named Wendy, who jumped right in my car and came home with us and just settled right in. She was a, you know, it was like she'd been here for weeks.
Oh,
right
wow.
Away. Yeah, she's a great dog. The cats didn't mind her. She was very easygoing. She was just great, very affectionate. You know, I have all these funny pictures of her kind of on her back on the couch, you know, saying too bad she can't get comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we didn't really get hit badly by the hurricane, and it was time to either bring her back or adopt her. And I would have adopted her, honestly. My husband just didn't feel ready and didn't feel ready.
Yeah.
So I brought her back to the shelter. And also he's a big dog kind of guy, and I'm usually a big dog kind of person too, but I see the advantages in small dogs also. And also Wendy was just a great dog.
Sure.
But I brought her back to the shelter and just bawled my eyes out as I gave her up. And she of course got adopted instantly because she's so easy and so great.
A great dog. Yeah.
And she ended up exactly where she was supposed to be. But it made me think maybe I'm starting to feel ready for this again. It just felt really right to be taking care of a dog again.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that in the way you characterized kind of the Wendy tale, especially towards the end of it, it sounded like you would have been quite happy to have Wendy stay on and become the permanent resident, but it sounded like Ray wasn't ready. But it sounded like you up until the Wendy thing, or even maybe towards the end of the Wendy thing, you would have characterized yourself as also not ready. But it sounds like maybe Wendy helped you realize, hey, you know what, maybe I'm more ready than I thought.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it kind of goes along with how so many of the pets have entered our lives, where there wasn't really any sense of like, okay, now's the time. It was more like a pet just sort of showed up and we were like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And it worked out wonderfully with all of them. You know, I feel like maybe that's just how it's meant to be for me to be getting pets, is they just kind of turn up for me when I need them.
Yeah. So when you went back, you were obviously sad and upset, but also realizing, hey, I think this might mean something for being more ready than I would have told you I was. And so what happened next then? So you started to feel ready, but Ray still wasn't feeling ready, as if I understand it, at the Wendy portion of the stretch here.
Yeah, I would say that's right. But we started to just kind of tentatively put out word that we might be willing to look at a dog, even if we weren't quite ready to adopt one yet.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as so much of this for me takes place, I think I put something up on Facebook just saying, we're not ready, but if you have a dog you think we should take a look at, we're ready to at least see a picture of the dog.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of dogs who need adopting, and my kind of social media community is largely people who are trying to get them adopted.
Right.
So we, you know, we had a nice response to that, and a lot of just people showed us a lot of dogs who looked wonderful. And there was one in particular who, I don't know, there was just something about him that caught our eye. I say something about him. He's a stunning dog. That's probably the main thing about him. Like, absolutely gorgeous. That somebody put up, a woman who runs a rescue on the other coast of Florida. She's on the east coast of Florida. And she told us, you know, we said, when we are ready, which isn't now, but when we are, you know, with like a dog who's a couple years old and is good with cats, that's the most important thing.
Sure.
You know, everything else is kind of, everything else is sort of negotiable, but, you know, not a brand new puppy and good with cats. Those are the things that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she showed us this dog, just absolutely stunning dog. Said he was, she was fostering him over on the other coast of Florida. He was living with a whole bunch of cats, didn't care. She, you know, we FaceTimed her. She showed him, paying no attention at all to her cats. You know, she said he's playful and joyful and gets along with other dogs. And, you know, did we want to meet him? And I don't know what struck us, but because at that point, I think both of us, I had retreated back to probably not being ready, and Ray still wasn't ready, but
yeah.
We said, sure, let's meet him. So we arranged to meet him in a parking lot in Orlando a couple of weeks later. Yeah, exactly.
Did people have to wear pink carnations so they could recognize each other? Or, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The code word.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a volunteer for the rescue brought him and handed him over to us, and we took him home for a trial. Yeah, and this is I'm trying to remember what his name was when we met him. We named him Jimmy for Jimmy Buffett. It was right around when Jimmy Buffett had died.
Oh, I see.
And the second we met him, he pulled me on a walk, and I thought, this might be a little bit much for me, but, you know, but let's give it a try. We stopped at a pet store on the way home to buy a good harness, and we brought him home.
And so the guy that's now named Jimmy seemed like a lot of dog, even on that first walk, but how did it go after you got him home and settled in, and how did it go with the cats?
Yeah, I would say it went poorly with the cats. Yeah, it didn't go well with the cat.
Yeah.
This dog does not have a mean bone in his body. He's just a beautiful, young, exuberant dog who, you know, we realized quickly was used to having kind of an open back door so he could just go run in the yard whenever he wanted to, and other dogs to play with and a pool to swim in. And here he was in a closed-up house with two middle-aged writers who sit at a computer all day and no other dogs to play with. Yeah, we were very boring for him. And three cats who wanted absolutely nothing to do with him. But
yeah.
He, you know, I think just desperate for somebody to play with, would run up to them and, you know, try to get them involved, and they would hiss and swat, and that just made him more excited. And, you know, he was especially kind of eager with our most elderly cat, Elf, who's, we don't know her exact age, but she's somewhere between 14 and 16 years old. And she's,
wow.
Yeah, she's the most outgoing cat, but I was scared he was going to hurt her. And the cats ended up hiding under the bed for 2 weeks. And it was a really rough 2 weeks, and Jimmy just had boundless energy. I mean, I was taking him I remember looking at my step count. It was about 17,000 steps a day, plus going to the dog park.
Wow.
Nothing would wear him out. And then somebody told me, you're probably making it worse. You're just making him, like, more physically fit.
Yeah.
Have more.
You're fortifying Jimmy now. Yeah.
Exactly. You're only making him stronger. And this dog, I mean, when I say he's stunning, he was like, people would stop in the street to look at him, you know, and he was so friendly with everybody and loves other dogs and just, you know, could not get enough of being out in the world, interacting with everybody. And, at 9 o'clock every night, he would get the zoomies and leap over our couch and leap onto me. And, you know, I'm a small person. He was not that much smaller than me. And I got worried he was going to hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, and it scared me. And it was a really strange feeling to feel this way about a dog. I've never really been worried about being hurt by a dog before. Again, not a mean bone in this dog's body. Nothing
right. It would just be his exuberance, but still
exactly.
It could have the impact that you were concerned about. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we started looking into trainers and we started looking into doggy daycares, you know, because you go burn off a lot of energy, social energy, and also just energy there. And I think, you know, and just really wanted it to work. But I also kept thinking, you know, I'm 50 years old now, and if he pulls me over now and I hurt myself, I might recover. If it's 10 years from now and he pulls me over, I don't know if I'm going to recover.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm physically capable of taking care of this dog, and I don't know if I can give this dog what he needs.
Right. And also, can you have that kind of concern on an ongoing basis and really settle into a comfortable life and relationship?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, the most important thing was my cat. You know, my cats, who had been so happy and confident and just content.
Yeah.
You know, and here they were hiding under the bed because this beautiful dog who just wanted to play, you know, was scaring the living hell out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, my husband pretty quickly realized this probably wasn't going to work, and it took me about a week longer than him to come to that realization. But luckily the rescue was just incredible, and, you know, and we just explained to them that Jimmy was a wonderful dog and just was not a good fit for our house. You know, we couldn't give him what he needed. And also, he was, you know, he couldn't give us what we needed, just to put it bluntly. It's not a pretty way to put it. But,
yeah,
you know, we needed peace in our house.
Yeah, it was too much of a good thing almost with Jimmy.
Yeah. But he was somebody's perfect dog.
Right. Just not you guys. Yeah.
And also, his life was not at risk. And that was very important to us, too. It's not like he was going into a situation where he might be euthanized or he wasn't going to be given a chance.
Yeah.
You know, this is a terrific rescue. And we knew that they would work really hard to find him a home where he was a great fit. And the things that we learned about him in our house would help them make a good match.
Sure. So I take it they didn't have that much information about Jimmy when you first brought Jimmy home.
Not like that. I think, my husband and I have talked about this a lot. I think sometimes working in rescue, you stop noticing some of the things that people, you know, just who don't have kind of 10 foster dogs in the house or whatever it is, might notice. So I think you adjust to a certain level of chaos, or, you know, you're used to working with dogs who... You're used to all kinds of things.
You have a different threshold, sounds like.
You have a different threshold. That's the perfect way to put it. Yeah, that two boring middle-aged writers who are at
I wish you to stop overselling yourselves over there. That sounds so flattering, but...
But it's the absolute truth.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so... You explained to them, they understood, and again, they were probably better off for the information that you guys had gleaned from your time with Jimmy, but still, I'm probably guessing, difficult to sort of hand over Jimmy, even though you both knew it was the right thing at that point.
I'm going to tell you the truth, Duncan, it was not that difficult.
Yeah.
It was difficult coming to the realization.
Yeah.
But it was not that difficult actually handing him over. I mean, it was...
Yeah. Well, I think cats in jeopardy and you yourself feel like in jeopardy, at that point it's like, well, we can't really hang on, you know, keep going with this dog.
Yeah.
So.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful dog and also not a great fit for our home. And I love foster to adopt programs. I think they're so important. So, so important, because they let you find stuff like this out and without danger, without judgment, without any of the negative things that could stop you from being able to say, he's not happy here and we're not happy either, you know, let's find him a different home. And the rescue did find him a different home, and they stayed in touch with me and showed me pictures of him. He ended up moving to northern New England, where he had a couple of acres to run around on.
And oh, perfect.
And his adopters adopted him a friend so that, you know, so he could have a playmate. And it was like, it worked out exactly like it was supposed to.
That's great. Well, like you said earlier, sometimes they do have a way of doing so, even though when you're in the midst of it, sometimes it can be tricky or a bit of a struggle, or it's like, oh my gosh, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And, because that's the thing, I think part of the reason I want to have this kind of conversation is that I think people often are in the same boat so much of the time. You lose a dog, you're just crestfallen, and then you don't know when and how to move forward, and you got to just take, I guess, your shot at it or take some cues and then hope, you know, that you're on the right track, and you can only find out by proceeding. And you know, you'll learn then if it's the right fit, especially if you've got other elements like cats in the house or,
mm-hmm.
It's tricky. And you know, there's some people, and I'm sure you know them too, or know of them, that, have lost a dog and, you know, a week or so later, they've adopted a new dog. And I think, wow, that's great for them, great for the dog. I could never do that. But that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, grief is different for all of us. And what it takes to help us heal and maintain even is different for all of us.
Yeah, well, some people, I think that there's a school of thought that actually says that if you're grieving, the best thing you could do is go get a dog immediately. And I just,
mm-hmm.
that's fine for the people that works for. For some of us, I just don't think it does work that way.
Yeah.
So.
Have you adopted a dog, Duncan?
No, we're sort of in that tough period. It's another reason I wanted to have this conversation, because I just feel like some of this is so universal, and it's so hard to determine when you're ready. That's part of why I really thought this was interesting about you and Ray, and to try to discuss this, because I just think there's a lot of people like us out there that it's hard to determine when. And you don't want to do it too soon if you're not mm-hmm. sure you're ready, because that's not fair to anybody involved. And you don't want to wait too long if you're a real dog person. You can give a dog a home. So it's tough. It's tricky. So
yeah, I really agree. I mean, I know we're starting to come up on time, so I just want to encourage anybody who's feeling this way to try fostering. It's just a really great way to give a temporary home to a dog. And if find out it shouldn't be temporary, you can adopt the dog. But in the meantime, it gets the pet out of a shelter for a while, even a few days, even if you just do it for a weekend.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And maybe that's maybe that should be our next step. I'm going to take a quick call in a sec, but it's for anybody out there listening, just because we would like to have people involved, and we are going to take a call in just one sec. But again, if you've lost a dog, or if you did lose a dog and then adopted a dog and how it went, anything that overlaps some of our conversation, we'd love to have you share your experiences. 813-239-9663, or you can do it by email at dj@wmnf.org, or you can just text 813-433-0885. So let's take that caller now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Aaron Greenway.
Let me get out of my radio first. My name is Wendy, and I just called to share my experience. I've always had animals, you know, from the time I was baby, and I'm 70 now, okay?
Wow, okay.
I've lost a zillion animals.
Sure.
In my life, and it's always hard. But the hardest one was about 3 years ago now. I had three dogs. One was a mixed breed, and she was oldest, and then 6 years younger than her was kind of a pity mix. And then 6 years younger than that was a five-week-old German Shepherd. Well, fast forward 7 years, and the pity got sick, and it took her forever. Now, nothing could help her, and we finally had somebody come to the house and euthanize her. The German Shepherd saw it, and then not more than a month later, the other dog finally gave up. She was 20, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
German Shepherd saw me bury this dog.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking, well, I'll be able to walk him because I couldn't walk all three dogs. So I take him out and start walking around the block, and he gave himself a stroke.
Oh,
he literally gave himself a stroke.
Oh, my God.
My vet, thank the Lord, it diagnosed it and gave him some prednisone. He was just so sad.
Mm.
And I immediately went. I got the next free puppy I could find at Fluff Rescue, and it saved him. Xander is now 3 years old. So, I mean, it was it was horrible for me, but it was so horrible for his siblings, or for their siblings.
Yeah.
So, anyhow,
I'm so sorry for your losses.
It never goes away, and I appreciate you sharing, and I love your show.
Oh, that's so nice of you, and thank you for sharing, because, again, that's it's just so illuminating about how dogs react and just what you just, that sequence you just described. I mean, they're so resilient and adaptive, but sometimes there's just too much. And then that third one, you know, when you did get the, you quickly adopt the other dog, rallied, sounds like.
Yeah, well, I didn't think wild about the dog I got. He ended up turning into, I don't know what he is, he's some kind of a hound mix.
Okay.
And he's 110 pounds.
Wow.
But he's still shorter. So, he's just a tank. He's like, which way did it go, George?
Yeah, I got you. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Wendy, with your story, and thanks for all the dogs you've obviously helped and loved over the years.
Well, thank you, too, and have a lovely day, the both of you.
You, too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, so, Aaron, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, unfortunately, here. So let's talk about Judy.
Judy. So, you know, and Duncan, I wasn't sure we'd have enough to fill a whole segment when you proposed doing this, but it turns out I can talk about my pets for hours.
Well, plus you're on with a long-winded guy. That helps, too. So, So where we pick up the story, Jimmy has gone back and then had this great life elsewhere now, as we've learned.
Yeah.
So
Jimmy found true love.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours started chatting me on Facebook Messenger, telling me that she had a friend who was fostering this dog named June Bug, and said, this dog is perfect for you. You should meet her. Said, you know, she was around 3 years old. She was in a house with a bunch of cats and a bunch of dogs and was just very mellow, didn't care about them at all. Showed me some pictures, and it was, you know, this very cute little brindle mixed dog. Looked very sweet, and we weren't ready. You know, after the experience with Jimmy, I started thinking maybe we're just a cat house from now on. Maybe I can't handle having another dog right now. Maybe I'm just too set in my ways to be able to adapt to another living creature coming in. And, you know, our friend sent me a couple of pictures of this dog, and I said, I'm not ready right now. Maybe in a couple months, you know, if this dog is still available, we'll take a look, but not now. And a couple months later, she got back in touch with me and said, this dog is still up for adoption. I'm telling you, you should meet her. And, you know, it was sort of just when we come back from visiting my husband's family for Christmas, and he and I were starting to think, well, maybe it's time to dip our toes again. And we'd met a couple of dogs. We'd gone over to the shelter and met some dogs. And, you know, a lot of wonderful pups and nobody who just felt like our dog. So we reached out to this person who was fostering Junebug and said, you know, our mutual friend suggested we get in touch. Would you like to meet up? And she said, sure, I'll bring her over to your house so you can meet her. And we thought that was a good idea. That way we could see right away how she was with the cat. Right at the beginning of the new year, this wonderful woman showed up with this dog who'd been rescued out of a hoarding situation and then was in the county shelter and then went into a private shelter and then went into foster. And she came into our house just terrified of everything. I mean, she was clearly very bonded with her foster, but she was so scared and so shy and didn't pay any attention at all to the cat. And, you know, and we just thought we could try with her.
So
this is through a rescue group that again does a foster to adopt program, which I cannot recommend this enough. I wish every place would do these. They're so good.
And the
foster left Junebug at our house, gave us some food, gave us some, you know, a crate to use. We'd never used a crate before in our lives, neither of us. And that was that. And this dog was so shut down. She was, you know, she was, if you even looked at her, she would run away. She was so scared. And I don't know what it was. We just liked her. We loved her. And we've had her, she came over right at the beginning of the year, and right now I'm staring at her snoring on the couch like she's been here all her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's really happy, and she's opened up and shed a lot of that fear, sounds like, and shyness and stuff.
Yeah. She wakes up every morning and starts licking our faces. She sleeps in bed with us. The cats are completely comfortable around her.
That's great.
It happened very quickly. I thought it would take months for them to decide if they were comfortable or not, but within days, they were like, yeah, this one's fine.
Yeah, we'll sign off on this one. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
But also, too, I mean, not only is she less shy and less fearful, whatever, but I saw a poster the other day where she was hanging out with Ray and, like, I guess kind of grabbed his glasses and ran away and, like, was pulling a prank on him like that. That dog being that playful based on what she was when she got there is fantastic. Yeah. It's amazing.
No, it's incredible. And just watching her gain confidence and blossom. I mean, it's such a corny word, but it's the best description of it. You know, she's smiling right now. I'm petting her as we're talking, and she's wagging her tail and smiling.
That's great. Well, that's perfect under the circumstances. And again, one of the things that I thought was valuable about this story is that there were some false starts, there were some ups and downs, and people being ready, not ready, out of sync. And to me, there's a lot of things that I think everybody, you know, that loves dogs and wants to live with dogs has experienced and probably will experience. And I just think it's just valuable to know that you just sort of trudge through as you're ready and you don't force it. And then eventually something cool will happen if you let yourself be open to it and you are ready.
I think that's the perfect way to put it, Duncan.
Well, that certainly sounds like what's happened with your beautiful Judy. And again, there were some ups and downs along the way, but I mean, that's how you got to Judy. Who knows if you would have otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And we just feel just so incredibly lucky that it happened the way that it happened, that she, you know, got out of the bad situation that she was in and made her way to us, and that we get to spoil her now and hopefully give her everything she wants all the time now.
Well, that is so great. I think that's the perfect place to leave this story. I mean, I think not coincidentally, maybe we're just about out of time, but I just want to say a couple quick things about some emails that came in. One was about the sort of infamous story of the governor, and I just don't really want to get into that story. But the last thing that just came in as an email was, I think, also a good way to sort of tag our story. It says, do dog shelters need or want people to come in to walk the dogs? I think an emphatic yes would be the answer there.
Oh, yeah. If you can give any of your time to spending time with dogs in shelters, you know, walking them and feeding them and cleaning their kennels and just helping them feel confident and happy, it would be a really kind thing to do.
For sure. All right, Erin. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Sorry for the rough part, especially initially, but I think you helped a lot of people, including us. I think hopefully maybe we'll be maybe ready to foster to adopt if we find a similar thing over in our part of the state and the right fit, and maybe that'll help kind of move us in the direction that I know we want to be at that we just haven't been at just yet. So thank you for us, and thank you for everybody like us out there listening to your story.
Thank you, Duncan. Thanks for letting me talk about my babies for a while.
For sure. All right, thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. In a moment, I'll talk with Stephen Meserve, who leads Loving Cats Worldwide, the organization producing the Tampa Cat Extravaganza set for May 18 and 19th at the Tampa Convention Center, featuring a slew of feline-oriented action, including adoption events, rescues, best in show, shopping, all kinds of stuff. More on that with Stephen Meserve in just a moment here on Talking Animals on WN. Right now, we're going to step into the comedy corner. I selected a piece that acknowledges that Saturday brings the running of the Kentucky Derby, the senior event for those of us who think horse racing is a dangerous enterprise that should end. This is Nate Fritzen with part of a piece called Horse Racing on Talking Animals in today's comedy corner on WNF.
So, like, I worry about some of our older sports. Like, how are they going to stay relevant in the next century? You know, like horse racing. How is horse racing going to stay relevant? I think the only way is if technology gets so good that eventually we can talk to the horses after the race and do a post-game interview. Because I would watch horse racing if that was part of it. Just after the race, some sideline reporter just like, we're standing here with Haley's Comet. H-Com, great race. Talk to us about your preparation. The horse is just like, first, I just want to give the glory to God. Through him, all things are possible, except having thumbs and driving a car. You know, it's all about preparation. I slept standing up last night. Ate a bag of oats, just, you know. It put me in a position to be successful. That's what Haley's Comet does. Haley's Comet comes to race. Haley's Comet comes to execute. Haley's Comet comes to refer to himself the third person. That's just Haley's Comet being Haley's Comet. You can't stop Haley's Comet from doing Haley's Comet things. The board is like, fascinating. Talk to us about turn three. That's where you really took control of the race. Yeah, well, there was like a small man on my back just hitting me with like a rod or a whip. Do you know the thing I'm talking about? It's like a stick and then like a little leather flap. Like, I don't know what the word is for it because I'm a horse. I don't really have a big vocabulary. It's pretty much carrot and all those words I just said, but I gotta be honest, I just want to be away from that guy. Like, that guy hit me a lot. Did you see that? Is there a ref? Is he gonna call anything out there? That dude was all over me. And yet, as fast as I ran, there he was on my back. I don't really get how that works. Again, I'm a horse. I don't have the capacity for reason. Was that a wizard? What was that? I'm glad it's over.
That was Nate Fritzen in today's Comedy Corner with part of a piece called Horse Racing, taken from his album, The Best Guy So Far. Now it's time to speak with Stephen Meserve about the Tampa Cat Extravaganza. Let's welcome Stephen Meserve here on Talking Animals on WNF. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, how are you, Duncan? Good, I'm good. Thanks.
That's great. Well, thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. Let's touch briefly on the history of the Cat Extravaganza. It's looking like a pretty sprawling event, so I'm guessing it didn't start that way.
I've been around in the cat world for quite a long time, but, you know, I had this idea to create this celebration of all things cat, obviously coined Cat Extravaganza, and we have been touring all over the world, and this is our first trip to Tampa. We've been in St. Pete before, but never at the Tampa Convention Center, so this is really exciting for the first time.
And what prompted you to kind of say, hey, let's do Tampa this coming time?
Well, I mean, I actually have family lives in South Florida, so Tampa was an obvious first choice or second choice, and we go to West Palm as well. So okay. Florida is a good bunch of cat lovers and animal lovers down there.
Great. So yeah. Tell me about what all will happen at the Tampa Cat Extravaganza. It sounds like there's a lot of things on tap going on that weekend.
Yeah, so Loving Cats Worldwide, our vision is really to bring cats to the main stage, you know, kind of put them ahead of dogs, or at least just even with dogs. You know, dogs have had the limelight for a long time, and we love dogs. And actually, this Tampa Cat Extravaganza, we are welcoming, in addition to many local rescues from all around the Tampa Bay area, we are actually welcoming a lot of dog rescues as well in a separate part of the venue, as well as an entire shopping village dedicated to dogs in addition to cats. We were like, we took the high road and said, hey, why not? Let's invite our dog lovers around too. At the weekend, you're going to see rescues from all over Tampa Bay. There'll be kittens for adoption by the rules and the regulations of those particular individual rescues. There'll be some breed presentations, some rescue talks, things about trap, neuter, and leash, everything for you to do your part to help with the overwhelming rescue situation. And at the same time, we actually will be doing an all-breed championship show. There'll be over 100 cats in competition.
Wow.
And actually, we can anyone can enter. We have an entire class set up for household pets or moggies, where we judge these guys, you know, the same way we judge the Persians and the Maine Coons, you know, for championship titles. And it's really important for us to for people to understand that all cats are the same, whether or not you have a pedigree or not. We celebrate everybody. Everybody's even, which is really, really cool. We'll do a lot of talks also on, you know, what to expect. If you want to add a pedigree cat to your life, you absolutely can. But we're going to teach you what you can do to make sure that you have that cat for the next 15 to 20 years. And then we're also going to say, you should probably rescue one too, because everybody can have one more cat, right? No one will ever notice.
For sure.
If you don't want a pedigree cat, then that's great for you. Then rescue as many as you can.
That's right. Well, I have another quick question too, but before we run out of time, I just want to hit the key details again. It's May 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each of those 2 days at the Tampa Convention Center, which is at 333 South Franklin Street, Tampa 33602 for those GPSing types. And so now, can you bring your own cat to this?
You can bring your own cat if you enter in a competition. So
if you go to the
website Loving Cats Worldwide or lcwwgroup.com, there's a way to buy tickets in advance as well as enter your cat as well. And we're pretty clever to get back to you pretty quickly with any questions about entering your own cat. So
that's great.
That'd be great, yeah?
Yeah, well, that was my next question about a website, and there's probably some social media page, I'm guessing, or two.
We're all over social media. Website page, lcwwgroup.com for tickets. We do recommend that you buy tickets in advance. Saturdays can sell out, and they have in the past.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we do offer tickets on the door, but just to be safe, probably buy them in advance.
Well, that sounds great. Well, this sounds like quite an event. Quite a cat extravaganza. I think it's truth in advertising here.
So word ever, right?
Yeah, that's right. All right, Stephen. Well, thanks so much. Good luck on the 18th and 19th, and thanks for joining us on Talking Animals today.
Thank you. Thanks, Duncan. See you later.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Coming up on WNF, it's Slice of Life, the wonderful show hosted by Randy Zimmerman and others. After that, we shift back to music with Jim Bannon from 1 to 3 and Nancy C from 3 to 6. Then the Latin the Music Night kicks in after that. Next Wednesday, my guest will be Jennifer Langston, the founder of Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue, a sanctuary for senior hospice dogs located in Wesley Chapel, so a local organization, and their mission is to provide dogs with dignified end-of-life comfort and care. So we'll hear about that. That's all on Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll catch you then. Right now it's NPR News Headlines, then Slice of Life after that, and back to music on WMNF. Thanks.